All right. Ramsey Lewis on piano, Ramsey Lewis and his trio with Wade in the Water. That's from, excuse me, that's from 1966. And it was a big hit then. It still remains a big hit, at least with me. I like these older songs and tunes. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is 4 days since all hell broke loose in Minneapolis. And last night was a particularly violent night. And we saw, added to the mix, we saw buildings being burned down, people being arrested, and it is becoming intense, more intense, that so that you're poised for news of disaster, but you don't want that kind of news. It is, of course, all linked to the move by four police officers, four rather violent police officers, in the arrest of George Floyd on Monday. And we discussed that picture that is seared in my mind, at least, that in order to restrain him, the police put him with his head not under the wheel, but really right up to the wheel, the rear wheel of the car, the squad car. And so that he couldn't move, they just jammed him in there. And then knelt on his neck, cutting off circulation, cutting off his air supply. And he said the same thing. He said the same phrase that we had heard years earlier, 6 years earlier, in New York City, in Staten Island, when a posse of cops attempted to arrest Eric Garner. The very same phrase he said, "I can't breathe." And shortly after that, he died. All that is happening now is an outgrowth of the community's outrage at the treatment of George Floyd. And I did have my concerns about explosions of anger, but then I understand the anger. And I understand the anger itself coming out of an attitude by the powers that be that they are not to be held accountable. They don't have to talk to anybody. They're running things. And this is how they run things. So we see the attitude of government essentially literally stoking the flames of people's passion and anger. So we'll talk about that today. And you will talk about whatever else you want to talk about. It is Free Your Mind Friday. And those of you joining us, perhaps for the first time, we dedicate this time on Fridays to whatever it is you want to talk about. You guide the conversation. You take it where you want it to go. And I ask, though, for clarity in whatever it is you're postulating. Let's be clear about what it is you're saying. Give us some idea of your rationale for what you're thinking. and essentially have your say. That's what the program is all about, you having your say. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. We're looking for your substantive opinions today on whatever the subject might be that you choose. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Eutrice. I hope all is well with you and the listener
Thank you.
audience here.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. One or two things. Number one, black men need to stop going on TV crying over this incident. It's embarrassing, shameful, and it shows nothing but weakness. And those that are doing these type of things get off on it. So I would hope that Bakari Sellers and Elsie Granderson and any other black male would not do it because it's shameful, it's embarrassing, it's disgraceful, and it makes me extremely angry and upset. So I would
And it's
hope
human,
that
and it's human, and it's the way they choose to express their anger and sorrow. So, I mean, you can't write regulations about how people
Oh,
are
yes,
supposed to
you can.
grieve.
Oh, yes, you can. There's certain principles that a man is supposed to have and supposed to show. And one of them is not to go and show weakness in front of the world to your oppressor. Sorry, disagree with you, sis, and I love you. But that's just reality from manhood. And you can't tell me anything different because I'm not going to agree with you. And I have utmost respect for you. Second thing is this. In regards to this whole situation with you talking about the president, it's a foregone conclusion that the man has no idea what he's doing and that this situation with the pandemic is going to escalate into something that's going to not get better but worse because his focus is not on dealing and addressing this pandemic, but trying to get himself reelected. And unfortunately, our population doesn't see it, doesn't understand it, and in the end, a lot of people are going to get hurt. And I'm just praying that people who know this are not the ones who get hurt in this situation because it's sad to see individuals for no reason get caught up in the crossfire of evil. And the president is evil, and he's showing it by his actions and his behavior by just dealing with this situation. It's evil. No ands and ifs and buts about it, and you can't tell me otherwise because during these last
That's the theme
45
today.
minutes,
I can't
you're going
tell
to be
you
doing
anything.
things.
All right.
No, that's not true.
I will follow your instructions and not tell you
See?
anything. I'm listening, though.
Hey, Eutrice, you being funny now. You know exactly what I'm saying. You being funny, but I'm gonna love you anyway. You know what I mean?
What?
Hugs and kisses and lentil soup. Always. Talk to you later, sis.
Thank you very much for calling today, Jay. Hello, Jackie from Brooklyn. You're on the air.
This is Free Your Mind, so I want to talk about a couple things. The rioting that's taking place now. There's many people who say that the fires were not started by the protesters, but were started by people who were paid provocateurs to cause, this kind of backlash against the protesters. Also, I saw online someone quoted Martin Luther King saying rioting is the expression of people that are unheard. One of the concerns that I have is that it seems like the so-called educated and so-called middle class blacks and the uneducated and poorer black people, there's no commonality of purpose and understanding of the struggle. And I'm critical of the so-called middle class educated ones. We don't hear anything from lawyers, black bar associations, black Greek organizations. These are the kinds of people starting with the Congressional Black Caucus going down or up. we should be hearing from these groups who should come together and try to formulate some type of platform or some type of leadership order, rather than trot out the same people that or have been we've been told they are our leaders. So that's my concern. I don't see any progress here, and it's going to continue to happen over and over and over again until such time as black people recognize that we are oppressed in every aspect of the society in America, from health care, the virus, housing, the legal system, you name it, and we are at the bottom of the list, and sometimes not on the list at all. People continue to criticize and talk about Trump, but Trump is just emblematic of what's wrong with America. I'm not surprised at anything that he says or does, and why people keep expecting him to be fair and just. I don't know why, but that's kind of naive on everybody's part, whether you're black, white, or other. So that's my comment for today. I believe
Thank you.
This is...
I think you gave it some thought. Thanks so much for calling in and contributing
Thank
today.
Thank you. Enjoying your show.
Thank you. You're Tonya from Brooklyn. You're on the air.
How are you?
Okay. Hello? How are you?
All is well. So... I think that Trump is doing a wonderful job for someone who is in office for all of the right reasons. I think that Trump is doing exactly what he was supposed to be put there to do for all of the right reasons. I think that he's looking out for his people. He's electing and putting in office the people that he needs to so that he can do a proper job. I think that this is all part of a script and a plan, and everything that is happening is part of a plandemic. I think that everything that we are seeing, we have already seen before, but we just didn't believe it. So now that it's happening in real time and people's mouths are proverbially covered, it reminds me of a time during enslavement when they would take the enslaved person and put that steel mask over their mouth. These are masquerading people who think that they are free. You cannot be ignorant and free. So we're seeing people playing multiple roles while we're having a psychological, economical game played on us. And we think that someone's coming to save us. No one's coming to save us. People are still in the house after 3 months. And where is the logic at when you have lungs that take in oxygen and let out the carbon dioxide? You come up with a brainstorm to cover your mouth and keep the poison in because the creator said that a cloth is better than the lungs. So people are waiting for themselves to have good health while covering the obvious point of entry for oxygen. They're waiting for someone to tell them to get a job, go create a job. This is the time for the geniuses of our mindsets to come into play and create what we need. This is a horror show that is still unfolding. We have people who wasn't able to bury their dead family members. We had somebody tell us to stay away from the elderly before it ramped up. They told us to stay away from each other because they're controlling our love through distancing. They told us the children couldn't get it, but then they said, oh, we got to give them something. Then they told us the young teenagers couldn't get it. They went out and partied, and they said, okay, now we got to give it to them. I think, and I'm not waiting for anyone to tell me, that if you can narrow this down to a zip code, you can do the same thing by sending drone warfare in a biological dispersant to those same zip codes. I live in a heavily gentrified neighborhood, and I know that the so-called opioid crisis gave these people the pre-existing conditions that are not knocking them out in the street from the COVID. The hospitals in these communities, East New York and Brownsville, was full of people that had preconditions. The preconditions is racism. That's the pre-existing condition. We've got to look at the whole picture. All of the
All right.
governors are lockstep with this. This is a
All
plan.
Right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your contribution. Alicia from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrees.
Hello.
Thank you for your show. One, I just wanted to say that I saw the debate on YouTube with Dr. John Henry Clark and Mary Lefkowitz.
Oh, Lefkowitz. Lefkowitz.
Yes. Yes, and you were facilitating the debate. I thought it was amazing, and I learned so much. But also, I also wanted to talk about the incident in Central Park, and I was reading about it today. And what I find amazing is how the young lady
Before you
who,
go on, tell us about the incident in Central Park.
Well, the black man was in the park bird watching, and a white woman was also in the park. Her dog was off the leash in an area that's restricted, that was not an area for dogs off leashes. And I guess from what I see, she didn't appreciate him telling her to put the dog on a leash. And then when she proceeded to give the dog a treat, she said she'd call the police and say that she felt threatened by a black man. And he, thank goodness he recorded all of this. And of course, all of this has gone viral. And I read today that she hired a public relations firm, and she put out a statement, and she says that she's not racist. But what I find interesting is that the very act of calling the police, saying that she's going to call the police and say that she's feeling threatened by a black man, that's an act, a racist act. Because if the police came, that could have changed the whole trajectory of this man's life. And we know how that could have played out. So, you know, I just find it amazing how her intent was to harm him, but when it backfired, now she's feeling sorry.
Well, didn't it occur to you that she was mentally ill?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. A sane person doesn't behave like that.
Yeah, she walked up to him. She was the one walking up to him in a very threatening manner, trying to point in his face and accuse him of threatening her life, she mm-hmm. said. Threatening my life and the life of my dog. Meanwhile, she is practically swinging the dog, because the dog doesn't want to obey commands. The dog doesn't want to be near her. The dog wants to go off and do his own doggy thing. But she swears she is not racist. Well, what else she expected to do? She has been fired from her job. She was fired the very next day. And she, no doubt, got this public relations representation because she intends to craft a part of herself. She intends that this would pay off and she would be known as something or the other, but she would get notoriety. That's how some people think. Mm-hmm. They have no shame. They have no logic. They have no sense. And we see her lying, okay? And she's saying, I am not lying, I'm telling the truth, I'm not a racist. Well, if it sings like a bird, acts like a bird, it's a bird. That's what I think. Thanks, Alicia, for calling in today and contributing. Thank you. Ma'at from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, greetings to the beloved family.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I want to, Utrece, while I understand yesterday, and this is all hard for all of us to process in terms of your passion and, you know, focus, I want to talk on the point as to what Kamal was trying to say, and I think we have an example of it. First of all, I want to make the point that William Kunstler, who was a very successful but you could say activist attorney, had a lot of unpopular clients. He at one point, and I've never heard this from so directly from any attorney that I can think of, but at one point he said that the legal system, the structure of it itself, is a part of the oppression. And I think that's the point. Sometimes we have to slow down a bit. I get very passionate, and I don't want to hear anything else, but sometimes we have to do the follow-through. Now, an example of what Kamal was trying to say was this Michael Friedman, who is the local DA in, this happened, I'm blanking on where it happened to George Floyd.
Minneapolis.
Yes, thank you. And and I understand the press conference was 92 hours late, so they didn't have a clear message to begin with. You know, they were shucking and jiving. And when he came to the fore, he basically said, and he sort of tried to pull it back a bit, but he basically said the point that Kamal was making, and that was that he didn't see anything that he could say was criminal. Okay, so in other words, the point is it's about a lexicon, a language, and a structure. And I noticed that Brother Paul Butler, who I have his book, Choke Call, so he has some important insights, but he's a former federal prosecutor and has come up in the legal language and lawsuit. So the first thing out of his mouth was the term homicide. Now, that was interesting because you made such an excellent point about conspiracy to murder. That's the perfect charge. But this idea of homicide, Kamal was explaining that the penal code, I mean, we've heard this term where it becomes justifiable homicide, right? That's a very, very uncanny and even diabolical term, okay, which is part of the police code. So it's important to look at the structure because we've seen these cases, even when they do get to court, even when they do get past a grand jury, that they never seem to quite work out in terms of a conviction for the crimes that we, especially with video, are seeing in front of our eyes on a regular basis. So I think when Kamal calls again, I hope he can break down about how the penal code actually terms justifiable homicide and how the Michael Friedman, the DA in Minneapolis, was definitely going in that direction. But I understand where you were coming from also.
Well, the point I'm making, and I was making, is we are playing all of this by their rules, which have very little legitimacy, in my view, in the multitude of circumstances we encounter and experience. This is not about the penal code. Our position should be we don't recognize it. We have a different code. They're talking about penal code. Does the penal code take into account a group of officers working in unison by a whole different set of rules, not covered by the penal code? I call this murder. I called it a torture killing. You see, we have to change the lexicon. This was a torture killing of a man.
The lexicon.
And when you go to court, You have to rip up everything and force the court to deal with your reality. Yeah, you have a penal code. Okay, where does it come from? It comes out of slavery, the experience of slavery.
Exactly.
And it enforces the rights of the people who were the enslavers. We have come so far without restructuring this very central thing. And that is, we do not recognize this law that permits people to get away with these things. We should not go through the charade of pretending that, you know, we have sets of rules. They do not obey rules. In fact, the lead officer had been brought up on charges 18 times.
Yeah, 18 probably plus times, you know, because some people don't come forward.
And got away with it 18 times. So you could talk penal code all you want. That should not be our point of reference. We have to come at these things. If we are fighting for justice, we have to rename things. We have to redefine things. That, as I said, this is my own label that I put on it. It was a torture killing.
You know, and Eutrice, I want to say that you're the only one that I've heard that even noticed about how he was under the car by the wheel, sort of like a part of the cover-up to their lynching, okay? And you're the only one that noticed that enough to point. It's an excellent point, because the fear and torture of the car, of his head possibly being slammed into the tire and the wheel, and or the car possibly rolling over his head. So it was torture. But the point about my blueprint is, the blueprint would deal with the fact that we have a structure that is not acceptable, it's not tenable. And it's outrageous, you know, because for the guy who's the DA not to have arrested those four people, I mean, you would think that they would be glad to give them up in terms of how volatile the situation has become, not just in Minneapolis, but throughout the country. Many places, Louisville with Breonna Taylor situation, and how the police went to the wrong house and wind up shooting her 8 times, and on L.A., Detroit, and on, but Kamal was making an excellent point, because until we come up with an alternate blueprint about the structure, the grand juries, and I've heard Ralph Nader brings up some good points of why they're illegitimate in itself, and the rest of the jurisdictional process is not going to change, and we need to look that fully as it is.
Our job, and we have to get to it. The law is completely insufficient. The law never, ever works, it seems, fairly. How are you going to tell me you have four people who conspired to commit murder? A torture murder.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was. Conspiracy to commit murder in broad daylight in front of, you know, we of course didn't go to the lynchings they used to have. The white folks had picnics. But now, as we're there watching, that's quite a message that's being given to us. That's for sure. But the structure of
We have to develop our own legal arguments, our own legal references, because the court itself is out of whack. It does not have
that's the point
provision for what we saw, what we witnessed. There's no crime. There's no label for that crime in the law.
Well, actually, you hit on it. Conspiracy to murder. That's, I mean, half the people are prosecuted to come under some type of conspiracy for a crime. So I think you really targeted. But we have to deal with the structure because we've heard this justifiable homicide. That's become part of the language that we're assaulted with. So we have to look at the structure and say, no more. We won't tolerate it anymore.
Absolutely. But I know one attorney who has never tolerated it. And that was Alton Maddox.
Yeah.
Never. Yeah. Whenever he started a case, and it used to look so bad for his clients, you'd say, oh, Lord, well, that's a done deal. But by the time he restructures the legal argument, people say, oh, okay, this makes sense. This makes sense. And I can see what he's saying.
Yeah, that's exactly what he took on. He took on the structure and the language and lexicon. That's why we need him to help us pull together the blueprint for a viable system, a sensical system.
And by the way, I should mention Amy Klobuchar, who at one point was being considered or had her name on the list of people to be considered to be Joe Biden's running mate for vice president. She had washed her hands of the leading guy before when he came up on charges and did not proceed with a prosecution. So, you know, we have to do this work. We have to insist on calling things what they are and reorienting people. This is that the man was tortured and there was a conspiracy among the police officers to murder him. And that's what it was. Thanks so much for calling in. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Thanks, Yatrice. How are you doing? And I wanted to say hello to
you?
All the listeners. Well, just looking at what happened and seeing that our mayor is going to go down to one of the worst mayor in the city. And I thought that Giuliani and Bloomberg were bad. But
you found somebody worse?
Yes. I think especially when it comes to people of color and our issues, I think he has shown a color that I never expected. But by the way, I never really voted for him. Never really voted for him. But I do wanted to say, I wanted to combine Eric Garner, Trump, and Floyd. The reason that I had to bring those three things together is because when Eric Garner was killed, and we saw that video, the police department, everybody was talking about that, especially the police department, that what we saw, we didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That was back then. That was that video. So when you hear Trump lying, and you get him on the video and tape lying, he said, I didn't say that, and we laugh. So this is if you relate that to Eric Garner, that we saw him being killed, and what we saw, we didn't see, it's the same thing as Trump lying, and then he turned around and saying, I didn't say that, even with the tape. So going back now to going to what just happened, to what happened to Floyd. Now you have a lawyer from the DA office in Minneapolis saying that he didn't see any criminality on that video. You see the connection? He didn't So whatever he said that he has evidence that he's going to prove why he can't go and arrest these people. So whatever we have seen on the video
yesterday, finally, somebody decided while the city is burning, they might as well come clean and do the right thing. The officer was arrested. But what they're saying, and this is a very important point I want people to really get. You do not argue practically anything on the basis of what your enemies are defining it as. That's what they put out there because that's what they think is the easiest way to make a point or to defend themselves. They invent a thing that doesn't at all resemble what you see with your own eyes. But they would actually say that this guy was fighting, resisting arrest. Well, yes. Wouldn't you resist arrest if somebody was kneeling on your neck, torturing you that way, even before you died, to make sure you're dead? We have to redefine these things. These were not officers. These were killers. We have to call it as we see it. These were not police officers. Police officers don't behave like that. Killers do. So we have to rename things and put the name, affix a name that properly represents what goes on in our communities every day. You had a conspiracy of silence. All of the other three cops said nothing, did nothing to help save this man. So we have to redefine it. And don't go along with their vocabulary. Their vocabulary is designed to protect them. You're not a cop. You're a killer. That's how we ought to relate to these things. Thanks, Allie, for calling in today. Good to hear from you. Mike from Florida, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice, and good afternoon to the audience. Thanks for taking my call. Yatrice, you know, there is a pattern that seems to get larger and larger and larger. I mean, I remember when I lived in New York and we had all these different incidents. You should probably remember the incident in the Bronx with Anthony Baez, killed by the NYPD.
I came up with that case myself.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and all of these things, and you have to ask yourself, where are the good police officers? I mean, you stand by, you have a suspect restrained, and he's crying out for his life. I cannot breathe. And you're a police officer. You're sworn to protect and serve and uphold the law. And you stand there and watch another police officer execute a man in broad daylight. People are walking by. They're saying, hey, the guy can't breathe. Somebody used some profanity, you know, to describe what was going on. And you can see the other cops just standing around, no big deal. And we must not overlook there are two levels of racism right here. The two Asian cops, remember, Minneapolis, Utrecht, has a strong, mm-hmm. is a Cambodian or Hmong population. They're the ones who assisted the U.S. in the Vietnam War, the Hmong tribesmen. And the black leadership needs to bring those Asian communities' feet to the fire because two Asian cops were there. And the one that we saw in the video who was standing guard while the other cop was crucifying Mr. Floyd. And he stood there and the black leadership must not let the Asian community get off scot-free because two of their people were there. And this is what happens when people come from countries where they don't have no black people and they see that this is how blacks are supposed to be treated. And these Asians, they come to America and they disrespect black people because they join the police force. White racist cops show them this is how you deal with the blacks and this is how they think. And for them to stand there and watch the execution of a black man, what is going to happen when the next time one of the Cambodians or the Hmong get executed by a white police officer? What are they going to say? So the black leadership must hold that community's feet to the fire because you cannot stand around and watch somebody be executed, and you're from a minority group. What happens when they came for everybody else and you weren't one of those people? And what's going to happen, Nutrice, when they come for you? That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Well, we have, let's see, we have Willie from Brooklyn. You're up next.
Good afternoon, beloved. And
Thank
my
you.
Family.
Good afternoon to you.
Sister Yuti, would you mind if I change your name? I want to say Harriet Tubman, because yesterday's program...
No. Harriet Tubman.
Absolutely.
Was Harriet Tubman. No other can be Harriet Tubman.
Because that's what I saw yesterday. That's what I heard yesterday by yourself. Your analysis yesterday, this is why I love your program so much and that station in general. You know, you're doing your job, and my job, when you were doing this, I said everybody in my contact has to hear this analysis. And I wish everybody else would do that. But anyway, Utrecht, the way you put things, there's only one time I could remember I disagree with you in 30 years. And everything you said, I was saying to myself, you have to pay a brass monkey to misunderstand what you were saying. Because everything you said was so on point. We have no interest in your penal nothing. We have no interest in your deal, nothing. We will define what we're seeing. Because we're seeing this with our own very eyes. And you're telling about DA and penal this and penal that. You're out of your mind. To accept that, from my standpoint, you have to be out of your mind. And these people, I think that you've always taught us over the years, because I've been listening to you for over 30 years, that the only thing you own is your mind. And I totally agree 100% with that. And to allow somebody to take your mind, that's the worst crime in my mind that anyone could do to you. Nothing else. And we have allowed ourselves to let somebody else take our mind because you're looking at this thing and you're telling me that you're going by what they're telling you. What happened to your mind? Can't you see? You look at this and you're presenting an analysis that nobody could misunderstand what you're saying if they're in their right mind. Nobody could disagree with that if they're in their right mind. And that in my, from my standpoint, that's the real problem. That is the real problem, to allow somebody to take your mind. Because you're looking at this. Nobody's telling you this thing. And you're looking at this thing. And you're letting somebody bamboozle you, according to Malcolm. That's the problem. I really thank you
to hold on to the brain cells that you have, because the only brain cells you're going to get, of course, they do regenerate, but you have to think for yourself. It's the best and most important form of self-defense. But we saw what happened. We saw this officer put this man's head
But the penal law.
By the wheel of the car, so that if for any reason the other things didn't work,
roll.
Maybe the car could just accidentally roll back and squash his head like a pumpkin.
But the penal law, Ruth Eutrice, the penal law. You're forgetting this. I'm sorry for laughing.
You cannot. You start out from your reality because that is extremely valid. Your reality is valid. Your history is valid. What you're seeing, your analysis of it is valid. So, you know, people have to get real. When you come into a court of law, the deck is stacked against you. The whole narrative is stacked against you. They even arrested some reporters yesterday just doing their job. Next thing you know, their hands were behind their backs and they were manacled and being led out to the precinct to be formally arrested. And I didn't hear a thing from the journalistic community. Nobody said anything. And guess what? Surprise, surprise. There were people of color.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said again before, you are the Ira Tubman of today. So all of the reporters, the Congress people, the city people, people in city government, they're not going to say anything. We cannot expect them to say anything. The only voice that would deal with this is from the Nation of Islam. That's it. And they already laid out their plans. They already are going along with what they find of interest to black people first. Call them racist, whatever you want. That's your business. But I'm in full support of the Nation of Islam. An attack on Minister Farrakhan is an attack on me. And I feel an attack on all black people around the world. So,
thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much, my sister. Wonderful, wonderful work.
Thank you so much. That's our work. Our work. We're doing this together. Dave, excuse me, Dave from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Okay, we lost you, Dave. I'm sorry that we did. Did I talk to Jean from Maryland?
Hi, Eutrice.
Hello?
No, we haven't spoken yet.
How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Just fine, thank you. Good afternoon to the PRN family and audience.
Thank you.
Eutrice, two quick points. Some years ago, you know, you guys were talking about Alton Maddox. He gave a speech that I happened to be at, and not really a speech, but a presentation, at the Slave Theater. And he was talking about a question of citizenship. And I think that's really what we're dealing with here, is a constitutional question of citizenship. These videos are continuing to show in incident after incident where people are being deprived of their liberty and their lives. And I think that needs to be not just examined, but tried as a constitutional question. Second thing, with respect to George Floyd and his murder, I think there's a case that we need to look a little more closely at and remember. And that's the case of Larry Davis. And for those people
who don't
recall,
yes, I remember that very well.
Larry Davis was a young man who was selling drugs, but he was being permitted to sell drugs by the police who were shaking him down for cash. And it came to a point where the police wanted more money from Larry Davis, and he refused, and they came to kill him. The difference here is Larry Davis was ready for them. and he shot back. Now, I say that this is important because we need to recognize and remember that very often police are not the good guys. Police are criminals. They're involved with drug sales, gun sales, organized crime, all kinds of things. Now, the video that we're watching with Mr. Floyd, the video is one thing, but I think we need to also pay attention to the audio and what we heard the police officer saying repeatedly, you're a tough guy, you're a tough guy. Well, what is that about? Was he trying to shake Mr. Floyd down for something that Mr. Floyd refused to give him? What else was going on? And I think we really must pay attention to these historical facts about the police. I don't know what was going on with these police officers and George Floyd. I don't know. But I do know that in far too many cases, the police are rotten.
Well, thank you. And you have closed us. You've closed us out today very nicely. That's the last call. We have taken all calls today, and I thank you all for offering your opinions about things. And we have to learn to listen to what each other is saying, because in the middle of what you think is, I think they're off course, boom, something comes up and you go, I never thought about that. And that's the value of giving each other time and space simply to express an opinion. Thanks so much. It is the weekend, and I always encourage people to surround themselves with good friends and family and neighbors who bring positive dimension to your life. That's worth a lot of money when people are in your life adding positive dimension to it. And hopefully you are doing the same for others as well. So enjoy your weekend and do a little bit of thinking, not too much. You need to relax as well. And we'll see each other on Monday. Bye-bye.